You would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. Mark chapter 3. We're here this morning as directed and instructed by the Word of God. We assemble together on the first day of the week to worship His most holy name, to spend time singing songs of praises unto Him, to studying His wonderful Word, and to proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. We appreciate everyone who's here today. You're visiting here with us. We want you to know that you are our welcome guest, and we really appreciate you being with us. If you have any questions or comments for us, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a chance to study with you and to talk with you about the Word of God. This morning, what I'd like to discuss, talk about, if you would, is why we are so centered upon the Word of God. Whenever we talk about authority, our appeal is to the Bible. Our appeal is to the inspired Word of God. Now, I do understand that there's a division here within the text, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we are living our lives under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, but the Old Testament is just as vital in that it helps us to know God, to understand God, and to understand the new covenant that we are living under today. But what we find as we study the Scriptures is the admonition to seek only the authority that Jesus has so designated, and that is within the text that we have before us, within the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Now, we may spend time studying the Word of God, and when you look throughout religious history, there are examples upon examples of mankind trying to help out the Word of God. And I don't mean that in so much a way where what they're trying to do is to keep everybody believing the same thing on the same topic. And so what we have to decide is what is more important, what we see within the Scriptures and what the Scriptures teach, or man's explanation of these things. Whose authority do we abide by? So what we're going to do this morning is to look at four things the Bible teaches regarding the authority of the apostles, because that's where it all begins. We recognize that Jesus was sent here by the Father, and we understand that Jesus has all authority. We recognize that. But when Jesus ascended up into heaven, who was left here to teach His Word? To teach the Word into the world. And then whoever was left here for that purpose, their work they completed. They completed their work, and now we abide by that authority today, abide by their teachings. That, of course, is the apostle. So let's go ahead and begin. And all the verses in the lesson this morning will be on the screen behind me. If you want to turn along in your Bibles, that's perfectly fine as well. But part of this has to do because of the number of verses I'd like for us to consider. First thing to note about the authority of the apostles, it was given by Jesus Christ. The apostles were picked by Him. If you'll notice in Mark chapter 3, referenced that while ago, in the context here of Mark chapter 3, there in verse number 14 and 15, within the context, we read, "Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him, and that He might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out demons." And then He continues there in verse 16 and following, and He names the 12. The apostles were not men who said 100 years later, "We're going to be followers of Jesus." They were contemporaries of Jesus. They were picked out by Jesus Himself to be learners of Him, to be taught by Him, to go out and to preach the message, even to the point of casting out demons and curing those who were sick, you know, miracles and so forth. He picked them. He handpicked them. You know, many times people look towards the writings of religious scholars in the second century and the third century. Listen, those guys, they may study the Scriptures and have written some interesting things, but they weren't picked by God. The apostles were. The apostles were hand-chosen by Jesus Himself. Let's look at another passage. This is found in Luke chapter 9, the first two verses there. Luke chapter 9, notice there with me in verses 1 and 2, the apostle Paul writing there, Luke writing about the life of Christ. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Who's the he? That's Jesus. Jesus picked them. And he didn't simply say, now you're going to go teach the things that I say, but they would also be equipped, be allowed, if you would, by the Holy Spirit to do miracles that would say, hey, this comes from God. So why should I believe the apostles? Look at their record. Look at the things they did. One of the things about Luke and his record, he records everything that took place, talking to eyewitnesses about it, so that there would be a record from Luke into Acts of the events, of the things that both Jesus did as well as the apostles, because they had been given authority. They were picked by Jesus. Now, a little bit later, we'll talk about the extent of this authority, but keep in mind, one of the things to kind of bear in mind, what we just looked at here previously, they were to go and to teach the things that Jesus would teach them. But now let's go forward a little bit, Luke 22, verses 28 through 30. This is after the death of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. No, this is not. Sorry. This is his last meal that he will have with them prior to his death. You look there in Luke chapter 22, and back up there to verse 28. We're going to go down there in through verse 30. He's sitting with them, and notice what he says to them. Luke 22, beginning there in verse 28. He says, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now the reason why he made this statement there is because the very words that he would be giving them, the things that he would teach, if you remember back to John chapter 12, he said the things that I teach, they are what will judge the world. Well, the apostles, they would go out teaching the word of God, preaching his word. And as a result of this, they become, in effect, of sorts, if you would, judges of the 12 tribes of Israel, because they carried the authority of Christ and the word of Christ. And they were the ones, and we'll cover this here in a little bit later, the world was to listen to. Listen to the apostles. Receive the teachings of the apostles. I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed upon me. We really didn't, I'm not getting into that aspect of it, but if you wanted to trace the authority back, you would find that Jesus says that he was sent by the Father. And just as Jesus was sent by the Father, so the apostles have been sent out by Jesus. We listen to them. We listen to what they have to say. Now, next one's Matthew 16. And we're going to look at the second half of Matthew 16 in tonight's lesson. But in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 18, when he is sitting here with his apostles in Matthew's account, as we read in our scripture reading, he asks them, who do men say that I am? And so they give him a few examples of who people say that he is. But Peter, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, and I also say to you that Peter. Now, before he says this, let's not forget to remind you of this. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but who? My Father who is in heaven. Okay, that's very crucial. My Father who is in heaven has revealed this to Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Look at the authority here. I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, as we'll discuss a little bit later this evening, this is not saying the apostles have the authority to create doctrine. A little bit later, we'll reference the apostles' doctrine. But effectively, what he's referencing is their authority. It would be they who would teach the message. On a side note, when he says this to Peter, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Peter, if you would, presented the keys to the kingdom of heaven to the Jews. And then Acts chapter 10, Peter presented the keys to the kingdom of heaven to the Gentiles. Interesting thought. But this is not limited to Peter. Matter of fact, if you look over then into Matthew chapter 18, we'll see a reiteration of this idea, verses 18 through 20. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. But focus on this idea of whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The apostles were the ones to whom Jesus made this statement. Nobody else. They were the ones who were given this authority by Jesus Christ. And then, John 20, verses 21 through 23. Notice what Jesus says to him, to the apostles. We read, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Note that. We referenced that earlier. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Again, a statement about the apostles, their authority. They were ambassadors of God upon this world to deliver the message, the gospel, unto the world. But now let's move on to the second aspect of the authority of the apostles. We said that it was given by Jesus, and that is right. But it was fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. When you give consideration to the life of the apostles, you find that there were promises given to them by Jesus. When we talk about the limited commission, the things that they would say, they would be given that knowledge and the things to say by the Holy Spirit. It would be given to them what they should say. But notice in Luke chapter 24, verse 29, this is now after the death of Christ, after his resurrection. He is with his apostles there. And there's a greater context to this, but the verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He says, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So now Jesus is telling them, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Well, what was going to happen there? Well, look at Luke's account now in the book of Acts. He does a brief recap of what we just read. And in Acts 8, verse 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this idea of them teaching, it was also the idea of them being witnesses of Jesus unto the world. But he said, wait in Jerusalem, wait there until you are endued with power from on high, till you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this happened shortly thereafter on the day of Pentecost. You know this. We've studied this before in Acts chapter 2. But it shows the progression that while Jesus gave them this authority, the Holy Spirit would be given to them to help fulfill this promise. So that what they taught came from God. What they did came by the will of God. The miracles that they did to confirm the word came with God's approval and by the hand of God, by the Holy Spirit there. We read there, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. This is Acts 2, looking only at verses 3 and 4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus had made a promise to them. We didn't even talk about this in John chapter 14, verse 26, John 15, 26, John 16, beginning in verse 7, going down to verse 11 and following. He makes a promise to them that he would send to them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who would teach them all things and bring into their remembrance all things whatsoever God had said, and this we see being fulfilled. The authority of the apostles given by Jesus, but it was fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. But let's go to the third observation regarding the authority of the apostles. It was upheld by God the Father. Now, what do I mean by that, upheld by God the Father? Well, we've discussed this before. Why did people need to listen to the apostles? Was it because they were eloquent teachers and speakers? No. Was it because of the doctrine that they taught? Well, there's an argument to be made, yes. Because that's what we live with today. But during the first century, there was a reason why people listened to them. It was because the words that they preached were confirmed by God. When you give consideration to Mark 16, verses 17 through 18, we oftentimes quote verses 15 and 16 about them being told to preach the gospel unto all nations. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. But then verse 17 goes on to say, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? What's the point of that? For the ego of the believer, of the apostles? No. To confirm that the word being preached came from God. It's that simple. Nowadays, the reason why we no longer need miracles is because the word that the apostles preached has already been confirmed. We know this word has come from God. The very confirmation, the evidence of these things, of the confirmation is contained therein. God upheld the authority of the apostles with the signs and wonders that they did. Hebrews 2. Verses 3 through 4 says this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The Hebrew writer says, which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. This is why I have up here, their authority was upheld by God. Because the Hebrew writer says God confirm the words that they preach by the various miracles and wonders that were done. But then, think about John 15, verse 16. This comes back to Jesus' time with the apostles. The Last Supper, as they normally refer to that time, that particular day, that night. But Jesus says to them in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now notice the last part here, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now oftentimes we kind of look at that statement, that verse or two verses out of context or passage out of context, and we kind of want to make that a carte blanche application to all believers. But in this context, he was talking to his apostles about a very specific task that they were about to undergo. They were about to be alone. Jesus was going to die, then he would be raised from the dead, and he would be with them for a short time, 40 days, and then he would ascend up into heaven. And it would just be them. And so he tells them, he says to them that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Look at another passage very similar. Same chapter, John 16, now verses 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Reread that. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. This is an assurance to the apostles that whatever they asked of God, God would do. The times that they healed the sick, the times you think about Elymas being cursed by Paul because of his trying to prevent them from preaching the gospel, they're on the Isle of Cyprus. All of these cases, they called upon the Lord to confirm the word, to assist in their conveying the message to the believer. And there were a lot of miracles that were done by the apostles. Really, I say by the apostles, through the Holy Spirit, being upheld by the Father, showing their authority was from him. And then the fourth thing to note about the authority of the apostles, and then the lesson will be yours. That authority was to be accepted by the disciples. You know, it might be the temptation for someone in the first century to say, well, you're not Jesus, why should I listen to you? Well, Jesus makes a statement to his apostles that is very telling about their authority. John chapter 13, verse 20, he says, most assuredly I say to you, He who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So if someone was to say, well, I believe Jesus, but I don't believe you, Paul. I don't believe you, Peter. I don't believe you, John. Then they weren't receiving Jesus. And if they were unwilling to receive the apostle, they're unwilling to receive Jesus, they were unwilling then to receive the Father. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 41. Jesus says, "He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Then he says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." Now think about this. He who receives the one sent by God, what type of reward would he receive from the Father? And so the emphasis is here. The emphasis here is on the fact that if they would receive Jesus, then they would receive the Father. But if they did not receive the apostles, then they did not receive Jesus, and they did not receive the Father. Over in Luke chapter 10, note with me there in verse number 16. He says, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you." Now let's turn this over a little bit to the other side of the coin. "He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Okay. So, a lot of passages there. But the point is they were to listen to the apostles. Now, does it sound reasonable to say that if the disciples in the first century were to listen to the apostles, then so too should we listen to the apostles? And that's what we do every time we study the New Testament. When you study their teachings and their writings, we are listening to them. We are listening to the Word of God being given to the apostles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the first century, we know the people listened to them. Because, and again, a lot more to the context here. But Luke records, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers." And again, this is not saying the apostles created a doctrine. You've had a lot of men throughout history create religions, okay? But the apostles' doctrine is the doctrine that Jesus Christ gave them, that the Holy Spirit inspired them to know, to teach, and to write. The ultimate point behind any lesson like this is to show there's only one source of authority. There's not multiple sources of authority. If you're going to talk about things religious, if you're going to talk about things pertaining to God, if you're going to talk about things pertaining to eternal life, there's only one source of information that is true and accurate, and that is the Word of God. Consider, if you would, for just a second, we pull the lesson to a close. Ephesians 2, 19 through 20. The writer here, Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now notice the next verse. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So when we sit down and we study the Word of God, when we look at the teachings of the apostles, the prophets of old, you look at the teachings of Christ himself, you are building, you are standing upon the foundation of the household of God. And that's why you must listen only to the Word of God. To become a child of God, obeying the gospel's call into salvation and becoming a part of that household of God. That's why you'll notice we don't have any creed books. We only have the Bible. We don't have any confessionals. We don't have anything that would say, okay, this summarizes the belief of the church. We want you to read this, and if you agree to abide by that, then you can be a part of this group. There's only one thing that even fits that, and that's, of course, the Bible. That is what we strive to do. We don't have any handbooks. We don't have any guidebooks. We don't have any magazines or anything like that. And I tell you what, let's say I decided to put together a collection of outlines by preachers that I really respected. And if I said to you, listen, you know, from now on, we're going to kind of track our course according to this book of outlines of these great and wonderful Church of Christ preachers, and any decisions that we make will be based upon what they say about the Scriptures. If I ever do that, you know what we have? Creed book, a handbook. If you ever say anything and believe something because some preacher in the past who can't be wrong said it, then you're not holding only to the Word of God. And that's what we need to understand. And I think that we do. And really, this statement is more for others who may not understand what our source of authority is. Why we only appeal to His Word? Remember what Paul said? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what we believe. That is what we hold to. And we believe that He Himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and He continues forward there for the purpose of the work of the local church. The question is, which authority will we listen to? Well, we are here this morning because we appeal to the authority of Jesus Christ, to His teachings. And we appeal to the authority of those to whom He gave this authority. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they taught His Word. I may say something that sounds odd or strange. And what you should say if I do that is, can you show me that in the Scriptures? I've not heard that before. So then I will pick up the Scriptures and show you what I think may be the supporting verse for that statement. But in the first century, they didn't have to go up to the apostles and say, can you show us the truth behind this? Because when the apostles spoke, they spoke the truth. But it was something that was not to be expected, it was not expected to be accepted blindly. It was a truth based upon the very foundation of the Word of God itself. And they knew that if the apostles taught it, that it came from God. And we know that if the apostles taught it, Christ taught it, it came from the Father. And that is what we follow today. Now, if you're not a Christian, you should ask the question, according to God, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have my sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb? And then what do? You appeal to the Scriptures. Now, if you could ask an apostle directly, think about Peter on the day of Pentecost. Those people there said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says. And this would be the same truth taught by all the apostles that day. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Will you do that today? If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.